Today is Monday, May 8th, 2023, and we are convening now the Lane County Animal Services Advisory Committee May meeting. Welcome. Is there any public comment per se? Okay, none?
And then Chair Bartlett, do you mind if we do just a quick round of introductions?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So Nathan Mitchell with Lane County.
Michael Johns, General Services Division Manager.
Isabel Merritt, Animal Services.
Sasha Elliott, Green Hill Humane Society.
Virginia Geiser, at large.
Scott Bartlett, member.
Dave Calderwood, member.
Okay.
Linda Cornhide, member.
Ryan Koga with Lane County Commissioner.
Very good. Very good to see you. Are there any changes to the agenda here? Of any kind or any latest additions or anything anyone wants to take up?
I would assume you're going to be talking about Eugene.
Well, I hope so. Are people comfortable with the audio minutes to the extent you've listened to them? March 2023?
Yes.
Are there written capsule summaries of the minutes or not?
Our staff, LCAS staff, do short summaries, but okay. Not like transcripts. Yeah.
Are they in our packet here?
No, okay. They're, yeah. If that is something you would like moving forward, we can do that.
That would be great.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
New and continuing business. We have both new and continuing business. And the main concern right now is the impending radical slashing of the city's responsibility to work with the county and the city of Springfield, for that matter, do its share for animal services. And on that score, Sasha, would you possibly be able to update us on what's happening on the ground and in the background or whatever?
Sure. So since we last met, the RFP, an answer to the RFP by Green Hill has been submitted. At the date and time that the submission was required, anyone who was a proposer was able to log on to a Zoom meeting, and representatives from the city opened up all of the proposals to share who had had submitted responses. Green Hill Humane Society was the only organization who submitted a proposal of services to the RFP. And since then, the awarding of the contract was supposed to happen on May 3rd. The city extended it to May 31st. They asked one additional question so far in response to our submission, and that was basically what services could or would we provide for the $207,000 a year. And so again, our organization is continuing to dig deep and figure out if we can provide any portion of the services requested without damaging the entire whole of the scope. We've also since provided public comment. I want to thank all of the members of this advisory committee who have publicly stated their concern for the slashing of the animal welfare program in the city of Eugene. We've also reached out to our volunteers and our donors and our constituents basically in the city and asked them to raise their voices as well. There's a city council meeting this evening that's both held in person and virtually. There's a budget meeting held virtually this Wednesday, and then there are multiple meetings throughout the rest of the month in which individuals who are concerned about the current funding of the animal welfare services program in the city of Eugene can speak up and make their voices heard. Our position is that the entire budget for animal welfare services should be reinstated. That both includes an officer in the field. In the city of Eugene, their proposal right now slashes services from 7 days a week to 4 days a week, cuts out one entire animal welfare officer, and significantly diminishes the scope of services that they're asking for from a sheltering contract. This includes both the type of services as well as the species that are being covered. And so we continue to be appalled at this cut. The cut is disproportionate. So the city had their first public budget meeting last Wednesday, and they announced that while it's important for them to continue to grow programs and support their staff members, that they're anticipating a budget shortfall and that they are cutting services to some programs. I think it's important to note that the budget cut to animal welfare is disproportionate to any other program in the city of Eugene, and really has the ability to cripple the entire program. So we're concerned. We are continuing to voice our concern and ask members of the community who are concerned to do the same.
Would anyone like to ask Sasha some questions? Anyone there? Okay. Now let me understand. The existing city contract with Green Hill, which formerly was Lane County's contract, that what or is right now, the current one's what, $460,000?
For sheltering only, yes. Yeah, it's about $480,000 a year for sheltering services. That includes animals of any species that are brought in by members of the public that are found sick, injured, at large. It also includes work that we do for the officers. This may include dogs on bite quarantine, animals that are being held for court cases, including abuse or neglect. This includes DOAs, deceased animals that are found within the city, as well as what's termed as safekeeping. So any person in crisis that has an animal who's attached to them, if they're incarcerated, hospitalized, found deceased, there's a safety net in which officers are able to bring animals to Green Hill 24/7, 365 days of the year, to provide safe sheltering, medical care as needed, and then either ultimately reunification or placement into a new home if that's required. All of those services for City of Eugene right now are up in the air, and many of them will not be able to be fulfilled if the contract moving forward with the city, if the funding is reduced to $207,000 a year.
What percentage is 207 from 480?
It's about a 56% reduction.
Sasha, do you have any idea of what Eugene is going to do? Like where they're going to go? Who's going to take the things over?
I don't. I only know that we are the only organization who is qualified and interested in responding to the scope. We have a good history with the city too, right. And we hope to be able to come to an agreement to continue to work together.
So you haven't heard that they've gone to any other humane societies to, okay.
Nope.
I mean, in the RFP, did they continue the anyone within 70 mile radius of Eugene can apply?
And no one did.
And that was not happening when you signed the existing contract, right?
That's new. That was not in place in the 2012 or the 2018 contract.
So they're 4-year contracts or 5-year? How long? 5-year contracts.
Now, Michael, do you know approximately? Can you remember what the? I mean, the county did a wonderful, wonderful job for the city on so many areas with lots of people. Took care of their licenses, did everything. in addition to its scope around all of Lane County. It seems to me that the county had the component responsibility of managing and procuring and maintaining licenses for the city of Eugene, dog licenses. That was part of the county's contract. And the county, in turn, would keep that revenue towards the contract. And am I mistaken or generally correct that the ballpark amount for the annual contract between the county and the city, or what the city was paying for animal services, was about $950,000 a year or something like that?
Yeah, I don't remember what the numbers were. I do remember, because that was before my time, yeah. But I do remember that the reason that they wanted to split was they didn't think they were getting their money's worth.
Right.
And it turns out, once it was looked at, they weren't even really paying their fair share.
That's exactly right. I mean, we had more than a dozen people. But my recollection, and I was also on, for 15 years, various stints, Lane County's budget committee and its chair for a period, it was between 900,000 and a million. So now they propose to reduce this to 207,000, plus whatever they're nominally paying for, what, two employees, a so-called supervisor, and one field worker?
Correct.
And what was the justification that they have given for eliminating 50% of their field work?
I have not seen any justification. I don't think they've made a public statement as to
Scott, I have a question for you. Have you contacted any of the people on the budget committee to talk to them about it?
The budget, well, I contacted, a couple of the city councilors.
What did they say?
Well, those are still ongoing. But did you see the email I posted to Matt Keating?
I saw the Greenville thing.
Right,
before.
Right.
I saw that.
Well, but there was a little prescript there,
right,
too.
Right,
I know him. And also Jennifer... Emily Semple. In fact, I know a lot of them. So, I mean, these conversations will happen. I know Lucy Venice as well. And the people of Eugene don't want this. People of Eugene don't know about it. And
on the neighborhood list. It's all over some of the neighborhood lists that I've seen.
Now it is. But we had talked this last meeting about, and I may be deficient in this, and asking our Board of Commissioners to communicate with the City Council that there is concern as to the possible really harmful impact if these proposed severe cuts were to go in effect. So we might communicate the general, you know, thoughts that the city ought to know that the county and the whole subject of animal services are concerned. As of now, is there a likelihood or a conceivable possibility that Greenhill will not be able to pursue work for the city of Eugene at $207,000 for all these eliminated services?
Greenhill Humane Society will always be present within the community to provide care for animals and the people that are connected to animals. The details of that capacity may vary based on whether we can come to an agreement on a contract with the City of Eugene moving forward or not. But as an organization, we don't see ourselves going anywhere, and we hope to be able to leverage the good relationship that we've had with the city over the last 10 years and the growth in terms of the protection and access to services for community members moving forward. I think it's going to be a long month and a half going forward. Hopefully there are some good, serious conversations about funding this program moving forward, and we have hopes that we will be able to come to some sort of an agreement. I think it's important to note that part of the scope of services moving forward for the city eliminated citizen engagement. It not only took out a variety of species, but it took out the ability for citizens who care about animals to do the right thing and bring them into a safe, sheltered environment. We think that without the citizens' ability to engage in a responsible way to encourage public safety and safety of their own pets and children and traffic and all of that, that it would have a detrimental impact on public safety in general. And we will take that into consideration very carefully moving forward when we determine what, if the city were to come back and say we can only fund part of this program, and there's such a variety of work that's currently being done, we will have to think very carefully about what parts we're able to contribute and how that may impact the people that live in our community. And honestly subsidize the work that we're doing for the city. For the last 10 years, the work that we've provided for this contract has been subsidized by donors and supporters of the organization. And there's an understanding that taxes and fees for services go towards providing this safety net for animals. And if the city is being irresponsible and placing more of the burden on individuals, I think that that is, it's not only detrimental and confusing for community members, but it will absolutely influence our ability to determine what type of work we're doing on behalf of the city and where our value is most impactful. And I say this because I think the city probably has a priority of, you know, housing bite quarantine dogs, housing dangerous dogs or PDD classifications, being able to have a place where they can take animals if they're arresting people and the animals are left behind. And I say publicly that that is not a priority for Green Hill. We've done that work because we've held a good relationship with the city of Eugene, and we've been able to provide a safety net and a lot of really good work for citizens and their companion animals. It'll be a conversation moving forward if our priorities don't align and the funding is not found.
Do you think that one of the reasons that they're asking for this tremendous reduction is that they're going to use that money to build their own facility?
I can't imagine they would do so. Based on the average amount that a city employee gets paid, it would cost them, I think it's about, don't quote my math on this, I know I'm being recorded, but I think it would be about $2 million to be able to pay for the city employees to do this work. As I said, we've subsidized this work by donors and supporters and our nonprofit status, and I think this city got out of animal sheltering back in 2012 for a reason. I'm not sure that they are interested in going back into it, but I don't know for certain.
Commissioner Seneca, I don't know, tell me if you are, if you know the whole history of the county, the city, and whatever, vis-a-vis animal services. But in the early 70s, when the Lane County Sheriff's Office had a contract with the old Green Hill, Carrie Lieberman has said that the annual number of animals that were euthanized was at one point 20,000 a year, and they were euthanized in what's called a decompression chamber. Anyway, it's a horrific kind of thing to think about, but the community as a whole, county commissioners, you know, leading the effort, created the tri-agency animal control and built the shelter at First and Bertelson. And that was co-owned by the city of Eugene, the city of Springfield, and Lane County. And it worked progressively well, particularly since 2003 or whatever. And as a result of so many different things, spay and neuter, public education, lots of things, the number of animals euthanized for space is almost non-existent.
That doesn't happen at all for space.
It doesn't happen at all for space or for time.
No, and, it doesn't.
Right, and so this whole, you know, cooperative and coalition was sort of broken asunder 12 years ago when John Reese, who was the administrator, was somehow convinced that they could save money if they outsourced licensing to a firm in Texas, for example. So if you live in Eugene and you want to license your dog, you have to send $5 to Dallas, Texas. Anyway, that's kind of, you know, and then the other thing was early on when Lane County Animal Control in the 80s or even the 90s suffered from being perceived as a police agency, laying in wait for people whose dogs were not on leash, whatever. That was a source of resentment. And so the county wisely shifted the agency that managed animal services to other than police agencies. And under David Sukart in Management Services.
Management Services, and then it was under Parks.
Then Health and Human Services and, you know, Public Works. The city unwisely decided, well, let's just put it in the police department. Well, you know, we're all conscientious, talented people, I'm sure. But the symbolism and the efficacy has gone way down to the point that now we're seeing, oh, well, we can get rid of one of two field workers, field officers. Why not? We can slash it from 950,000 to 207. Hey, save some money. That's what we face. And the thing is, there are lots of blurs of jurisdiction. For example, animals will get lost, fireworks or just you name it, and they will go from Junction City, let's say, into Eugene. There have been many cases like this. And David Calderwood has wanted to get a universal licensing system so that every jurisdiction can manage their licenses, keep the money and all that. But if there was one holistic licensing system for Lane County, and you could have FL for Florence or VE for Veneta or EUG, you know, then those return to owners could be made really much more efficiently, all right? So what we're seeing is this balkanization or chopping up of, and it's really unfortunate. And so, you know, we hope, and we have almost, what, a month and a half, you say? Yeah. So what is the most serious, as of now, if that contract was held steady, their proposed contract, what is this most serious loss to the citizens with respect to the companion animals and other animals that you would not be rendering because of their contract?
I think that's still up for discussion. So there are several bullet points within the scope of services that are requested for the contract. What they're requesting in combination with the funding that's provided, the funding is inadequate to say yes to all of the scope of services that are requested. And so currently we are reviewing if there is no additional funding provided to the sheltering aspect of animal welfare in the city of Eugene, we're currently reviewing what we could do, what we're willing to do, and what impact that may have either on the animal welfare officers that are in the field, the public safety and police officers that are responding to individuals in crisis that also have animals in crisis, And what that would mean to our citizens and their companion animals, both owned animals that go missing as well as at-large dogs that may be aggressing owned animals or children, or running in the street causing traffic accidents. There's a variety of things that that's important to a holistic view when it comes to animal welfare in the community. And again, I'll say that reducing part puts in jeopardy the whole. So I'm sorry, I can't answer your question right now because I'm not sure what we would say yes to. If we would say yes to the contract moving forward, if it's offered at such a reduced value.
Didn't you say that citizens, as opposed to their one field officer, would not be able to bring in lost or found or stray animals on their own with the city's paying for the sheltering?
The way the current scope of services is written in the most recent RFP, the only opportunity for citizens to bring in an at-large animal would be a dog. Citizens are excluded from being able to bring in any at-large cat or other species found within the city of Eugene, the way the scope is written.
Is there a possibility that Green Hill could refuse this proposed contract?
Well, they have.
And say, no, we're going to come in with a counteroffer, counter contract?
Well, you already did.
Yeah, there's a possibility that we won't be able to come to an agreement.
Right.
I think it should be really clear that that does not impact the contract or the relationship that we have with Lane County Animal Services or the City of Eugene Animal Service, or excuse me, the City of Springfield Animal Services, or the contracts we hold with Bonita and Cottage Grove and several other jurisdictions. I think that's potentially what's most damaging, is just the confusion for members of the public. Since, as you mentioned, the late 70s, there has been a safety net for people to be able to call for assistance, whether it's an officer in the field or have a safe place to bring an animal as needed. And to me, a disruption in the City of Eugene services potentially impacts anybody within Lane County, just because there is the likelihood that there would be mass confusion. And as you mentioned, animals don't know jurisdictional boundaries, and people may want to work the system. And so we do feel like there's a possibility where we would see increased activity within unincorporated Lane County if the City of Eugene is irresponsible and doesn't provide a clear path for their citizens to be able to do the right thing.
Now, does the Lane County staff work closely with you insofar as cases in West Lane County, East Lane County, and all the surrounding jurisdictions? And so you work cooperatively and you're integrated in that score.
We have a pretty good working relationship. Sasha's been a real help to all of us.
And isn't there some budding connection with the Florence Humane Society? We mentioned that before.
We've been possibly talking about a potential contract coming up, just in case we're over on that side and we have a dog that needs emergency help or something.
So one of the things that happens, a lot of times we hear things, okay, like the 20,000 dogs killed in 19... I was here in 1970. They didn't have 20,000 dogs. We put the animals to sleep for them. And it wasn't a decompression chamber. It was a CO2 chamber, okay? Both are bad.
Stand correct.
But it was not a decompression.
CO2 meant they just didn't have any more air to breathe?
No oxygen.
Okay.
But the numbers are...
Well, I got them from Carrie, from their records. But
they had records that they kept from some fictitious source, okay? But when we put the animals to sleep for them, which we did for a long time, we went in and volunteered and put animals to sleep for weeks on end, okay? And, you know, you'd have to put, 100, 200 to sleep a day for getting up to those kind of numbers, okay? It didn't matter how many, it was too many, okay?
Yeah,
I'm not trying to diminish it at all. But we have history that tends to rewrite itself. and it always rewrites itself in our favor, which of course we should in our case. We're pro-animal, so it should be in our favor. But you can, sometimes you get caught in lies and then it makes you look bad, okay? Like right now, I kind of think, and I could be totally wrong, but the city throwing out a number is a volley to get the public active, trying to promote more money being contributed from Eugene. That's what I would think. This is not a final contract. A lot of times people throw an offer out there, doesn't mean it has a final signature on it that that's what's going to be. Now, admittedly, you have to promote what you do, and you have to ask for more money, and you have to try to redo the contract at least at last year's level, and hopefully be, what, 10, 20% more than last year? That's what all the government agencies do, and you should too. But I would be so shocked if this was the final number.
Well, let's hope and pray that's the case. I will say that former commissioner, five-term commissioner Jerry Rust, and also Bill Dwyer from Springfield, who was a commissioner assistant to the late Archie Weinstein, that they both said that they went out to the shelter and the experience was horrifying to them, and that that was one of the motivations for them to put the ballot measure that created the tri-agency animal control. So regardless of numbers or whatever, you shouldn't have had to, in an ideal world, had to have even had to perform that volunteer service. And thank God that things have been remedied, you know? And so we're trying to maintain that progress and build upon it. And I guess the question is, what can Lane County do to communicate with the city of Eugene that we're all in this together and we all have to pull the oars in the same direction?
Well, the bottom line is we have to somehow communicate with them that we would like to see them be a little more generous in their contract, okay? But we can talk all day about it. And it's kind of like the license thing that we did for how many years where we say, you have to do this according to our rules. Well, they've ignored us for, what, 20 years now in the licensing program. Why Eugene would pay a whole lot more of attention. I guess what I'm saying is we spend a whole hour lamenting the fact that you're not getting enough money, which I think is true. But then let's write them a letter saying you're not getting enough money in Lane County. This board would like to encourage you to increase your generosity, okay? But we can lament it for hours and it gains us nothing.
Well, Dr. Penfold, that's a good idea. Would you like to circulate a potential draft of a short letter that
because we have a general agreement on discussion, that makes me an author?
Well, let me just interrupt. So I sympathize. I love Green Hill. We work great and closely with them. I also work closely with Eugene and Springfield Animal Control agencies. Talking about LCAS is not taking a position on any budgetary decisions of another government entity. Yeah, that's above my pay grade.
It is a problem.
So I will.
To write a letter. We're talking about the Board of Commissioners.
Yeah, that's the appropriate level.
Communicating to their fellow elective counterparts that, hey, look at this a little more carefully.
Yeah.
This is a problem, and we've been successful in the past, up to the present, working together, and we need to maintain that.
Yeah.
So are you asking the kind of commissioners?
Those conversations are going on currently. They've been going on for about a week between us and council members, the city manager. I've had Steve Mokrzyski reach out to him and see who would they want all of the emails I get sent to? that's where we're at right now. If you would like, I can talk to some other commissioners and see if we can actually draft up a letter that we send to the city that we all sign, and maybe try and get their attention a little bit better that way. But I just, so you know, that every single commissioner has forwarded me the emails they get because I'm the liaison, and then I'm forwarding them on also. So you guys aren't the only ones talking about it. I think it was Scott mentioned that a lot of people didn't know about it, and they didn't know about it until recently. And when they found out that, yeah, now it's starting to get some traction, and I do think the city is feeling some heat about it finally. But I don't think we should, as they say, let off the accelerator pedal.
We would like that, and we would like to join you in signing whatever we can to encourage that.
And we can feel, we can communicate with you on your email, Commissioner, right?
Yep.
Well, that's good. So in your conversations, the proposed draconian slash is clearly an item of discussion with the city of Eugene or the councilors or whatever?
All the above, yes. Yes. With city councilors and with the city manager.
You know, I wonder, I still am wondering, not that, I guess it's just academic, who's initiating this? Why would they do something so...
Well, who on the budget committee? You're the one that has the fingers in the budget.
Well, not the city of Eugene.
Well, it's the budget committee that's proposed it.
What?
The city Eugene budget committee proposed it.
They get a proposed budget, and they work on it, and, you know.
Well, who's I mean, the bottom line, budget committee?
The bottom line is, at the end of the day, for the city or the county, the electeds determine the budget.
Right.
And they can fix it, they can amend it, they can move it around. But, yeah. Okay.
They said they have assured us that it's not dead yet and that that is not a final number. So,
good.
We were kind of talking before there. We're going to go back and forth, but. I mean, we're talking about hitting them for 900,000 again. I mean, going for what? I mean, this is.
It was 950 well, all told. All told.
Previously.
What are you saying?
Previously.
Yeah. Now it's 480.
480. Right.
And it's going to 207.
Right.
And it's like, okay, do everything, all these different things that you can't afford to do for this money, for this amount of money. And so.
And just to give you a frame of reference, LCAS's budget, including our what we pay Greenhill, is $1 million for all of us. It's $1 million. It just went over this year's proposed budget, next year's proposed budget, is the first time it's actually went over $1 million.
To Greenhill?
No. That includes my entire budget,
Parks
including
well.
What I pay Greenhill,
Parks
is $1 million.
How
so
you
we're very
divide astute. That up, like how much goes to Greenhill?
Oh, it's in the four something, I believe. Yeah, it's off the top of my head, but that's
well,
our...
Four,
approximately
yeah.
What it was for the city.
Oh, yeah, we haven't cut our Greenhill budget at all.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
but it's a big chunk.
The city paid.
It's a big chunk of LCAS's total budget.
So what we see is, we don't need to belabor about the city, but it is important, and because of what could happen to animals and to the citizens not being served. The city basically has two employees in the police department, right? And then a contract with Pet Data out in Dallas, Texas. When we did our report, Commissioner, I hope maybe you got a chance to read the 2003 task force report. Is it on our website still?
It has been.
It should be.
I'm not sure.
Well, it was a blue ribbon one-year report, and it looked at every aspect of animal services, funding everything.
That's how you and I got to know each other.
Right.
and, like this.
And, well, anyway, if you look at that, you'll see the whole scope of services that have happened.
Is now exiting.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe I'll look into that. See.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to go through that for sure.
And as I recall, what we did in that report, we talked about financing. And at one point, we asked for a pet food tax. And we thought, man, you know, 1% tax on pet food would be enormous to build a new shelter, which at that time we wanted to do on MLK. Et cetera, et cetera. The lowest option for funding vis-a-vis licenses was a contract with Pet Data. That's like number six, and that's the one that they chose. So they wouldn't have to pay any wages, local wages, union scale, whatever. They could just farm it out. We don't know how much the city is getting in licenses vis-a-vis how much that firm is, you know. Well, I'm glad that those conversations are happening. If we would progress, we've had open discussion. Lane County Animal Services activity. Isabel, do you or Michael have anything to tell us?
Not for the activity, but we do have a proposal for using some of our Harriet Smith Trust Fund money. And I'll let Isabel talk about that.
Okay.
So one thing that Lane County Animal Services deals with a lot is livestock calls. And at this time, we have no way of transporting seized livestock without calling on volunteers or the mounted posse.
Livestock costs?
Mm-hmm. So, like right now, I have a case with this cow.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to get him out of the situation for going on 3 weeks. And at this point, I have no way to transport him. I've been calling volunteers and shelters, calling people from Portland to see if they're available, trying to set up a time to go get this cow. So what we're proposing is using part of the Harriet Trust Fund to buy Lane County Animal Services a stock trailer, both for neglect and abuse.
A stock trailer?
Mm-hmm.
And a used one, hopefully?
Hopefully. We've found some really good deals on some newer ones.
How much?
It's a 2021. It's $10,000. It was just refurbished at the trailer. It's at the trailer lot in Albany. We found a couple that need a lot of work out in Craigslist, Roseburg area. So we're definitely searching, but we were asking for $10,000 to $18,000 the Harriet Trust Fund.
$10,000?
Mm-hmm. 10 and to 18.
How much is left in the trust?
$55,000. So we would like to have $10,000 to $18,000 budget.
What'd you say?
$10,000 to $18,000, depending on how it goes in the repairs.
So which vehicle would be able to tow this? Is it a bumper pull or a...
A bumper pull.
A bumper pull?
So both of our dump trucks would be able to pull it. We could use it during the fires for shelter in place and evacuation when people have to leave their livestock behind, for transporting animals for neglect seizures, abuse seizures, or if there's livestock at large and the sheriff needs a hand, we'd be able to assist with that.
But when you're looking at how many animals would it be able to haul?
We found a 4-horse bumper pull, which could fit 4 to 5 horses if you take out the dividers, and we found a 3-horse bumper pull. And then we found a 16-foot stock trailer with a middle divider.
Which one is the $10,000 trailer?
The stock trailer, the 16-foot stock trailer.
Okay. And how many horses or how many in the stock trailer?
Depends on the size of the animal. I mean, if they're goats or sheep, you can just kind of fit them in
horses?
There until it's full.
Horses?
Horses, 3, 4.
Okay, that's a pretty good size.
I mean, we've had the most horrific horse animal abuse cases.
For sure, and if something
in
on
South Lane County, I mean, mm-hmm. criminal. I mean,
yeah.
Something at that scale will obviously call on our volunteers and our backups, but it would be nice for 1 or 2 animal cases.
That brings up a question to me, for me. You have 2 other trailers. Mm-hmm. Eugene Kennel Club and Mackenzie Cascade Dog Fanciers bought you one some time ago.
That was Elkara,
mm-hmm. which eventually went to Elkas.
Mm-hmm.
And you had another trailer. Do you have any idea what kind of condition those trailers are in?
So those trailers are both in good condition, but they're cargo trailers. They're not stock
right,
trailers.
Right, they are cargo trailers.
So we're not able to put animals in those safely.
Okay.
And they're full of equipment.
Yeah, full of ones for Elkade that stays out at Greenhill, and then Elkas, we have the livestock trailer that we keep right here.
Which is not actually a livestock trailer.
No, I mean, it's just equipment for the livestock, for setting up livestock. Right.
Let me ask, if we were to tentatively say $10,000 towards that,
mm-hmm.
and that you need to really assure us you're doing your due diligence to get the best deal and the best product, would your organization be willing to come in with like $2,000 or $4,000 to, if need be, to?
I can't speak for them. I don't know.
Could you advocate?
I can ask them, but we're a struggling club right now, and I'm not sure they could.
All right.
But they have in the past. In the past, we gave $80,000 to Greenhill not long ago. $80,000.
It wouldn't be extremely high usage except during fire season and neglect cases. But at this time.
Well, right now, anytime we have a neglect case where we're going to have to move large animals, we have to get partners with a rescue to help us do it. Mm-hmm. And it would just help us immensely if we could do it ourselves. And like I said, the fires have become a regular part of our thing now. And I have to rely on volunteers to go up into the fire zone. The less I have to depend on them and have government employees up in the fire zone, the better I'd feel. I mean, I'm up there too, but I feel better about having government employees to the extent possible in the fire zone.
Do they have a place to store the trailer once they
do that? Yes. And besides animal services, I'm also the fleet manager, so believe me, it will be a well-taken care of trailer because the mechanics work for me also.
My understanding is during that horrible Mackenzie fire, you were one of the central people up there rescuing desperately endangered animals.
That's correct.
And people are forever grateful to you. Did the county ever give you a medal or a commendation for doing that?
I got a coin.
Well, I know that you stood out, and that was serious business.
Yeah, it was.
My question is that I know a lot of different people that, you know, they rent their service of hauling on demand.
Yeah. Okay?
And if you are going to use it 10 times a year, it's far less expensive to hire a person to go get that animal and deliver it to the location you would desire them to go to. Now, Lane County, I have to admit, you maintain your equipment well, because when I'm looking for used equipment, I look for Lane County used equipment, because I know they maintain it really well. But sometimes we spend a whole lot of money, and I know the stock trailer the minute you buy it's worth $9,000. Mm-hmm. And for that $1,000 difference, Could you hire a person to haul these?
Well, the issue with that, besides just the fires, which I don't want volunteers up there, a lot of these situations are a little dicey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I understand. You don't want to hire someone that to has go no into, skin in the game,
right?
To go pick up a cow,
right,
and get shot in the process.
Exactly.
Okay. Where you guys bring sure.
This seems more like an inherently official.
And I don't blame you. I mean, that is the control feature. It's always nice.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Having total control.
Well, and I wonder if there's chain of custody issues. So you're talking about abuse, neglect cases. Yeah. That evidence has to be handled efficiently. Right. Otherwise,
but
the case falls.
But there are chances to sometimes, if you're going to use it five times a year, you just rent a vehicle for that long and have your own people drive it if they have to.
In the past, how often? How many times per year have you needed something like this?
If you needed it 20 or you needed it a lot, then I understand you should.
Yeah, it comes up very frequently where we're working with rescue organizations.
Once a month?
Probably every other month. Let's not get away from the fires, because that's, you know, 14 to 16 hours a day for 3 or 4 weeks.
Many times, right.
So it's a lot. And I don't think that we can really count, because it's 3 years in a row we've done it. I don't think we can really count on fires not being a regular part of our business.
The problem you have, you know it, that one trailer is not enough when you need them.
And right, exactly.
One trailer is too much the rest of the year, and so that's inevitable. I just didn't know what kind of usage you had.
Isabel, could you please recap what the choices are so far?
So we're still looking. These are just some options that we looked at while we were thinking about proposing this. I found one as low as $3,000 on Craigslist, but that one needs a lot of work, so it'd end up being closer to $8,000 after it was refurbished. There's normally the range is $8,000 to $15,000.
What's the thing for $10,000?
$10,000 is a 16-foot stock trailer with a middle divider.
Would that serve your purposes?
It would.
Because it's called a stock trailer doesn't mean a horse doesn't fit in it.
Stock trailer?
It's designed that it can either have horses or cattle, or sheep, or goats, or
chickens. And where is that for sale?
Double J Trailer Sales. Double J Trailer Sales.
Where's that?
Albany.
You been up and look at it?
No, I just looked on their website.
Can you go up and check it out in person?
Whatever we decide on, I would send a mechanic to go check it out.
The expert among us that I know of is Dr. Penfold. I wonder what you think about doing this.
Well, I do think that I'd have to agree with the people that are using it, and that is that when they need it at midnight, and there's not always a rental at midnight.
Right.
And they need to bring a sheriff with them, because this isn't going to be a nice scene when they go to these places.
Likely.
And so it doesn't have bulletproof panels in it, obviously, but you, there's only certain things you can hope for. I don't think it's unreasonable to have a SOC trailer. Even if you only use it 5 times a year.
Yeah.
But there are times when you say it's kind of an expensive luxury if you're not going to use it a lot. You know?
Would you support a motion to make a $10,000 donation?
The only thing that I'd worry about is the stipulation of that money, okay? Because originally there was a stipulation that it was meant for XYZ.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't remember exactly what that stipulation
was. I think it's very broad. It's for the benefit of the animals of Wayne County.
Right.
And the animals.
That's the way I remember
it. And the animal.
It didn't have dog in there.
No.
Animals.
No.
But it was the animals sheltering, you know, and that would include, you know,
and transportation. If there is not a problem with the wording of the will, then that I would make such a motion.
Okay, you've made a motion for $10,000.
That's correct.
And is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded for $10,000 contingent upon, can I make a friendly amendment? You're being assured upon physical inspection that that is the best opportunity you have for that.
Well, they're going to get the $10,000. They decide what trailer to buy.
Okay.
With that 10.
All right. Is there any other discussion?
Well, this is to advise, to ask the county commissioners to support doing this.
Right.
It's
the
not
process. The process is you make a recommendation.
Okay,
we put a board packet, and then the commissioners approve
okay.
it. Usually, it's on the consent calendar. It's automatic once you guys have recommended approval.
And Commissioner, are you aware of this trust fund that this wonderful woman put in her will for Lane County Animal Shelter Animal Services? How much was it?
No, I'm not. I
believe
it was pretty quick.
It was around $125,000 that was left in the will for Lane County Animal Services. We've used it for kennel improvements. We've used it for a dog therapist or whatever they're called, right? A couple other things like that.
Towards the X-ray machine.
Right. We used it for spay neuter assistance to, was it WAGS or pro bono? I forget. WAGS. So we've used it a number of times so far.
And you could give him a breakdown actually of how that was.
Yeah.
But it was very enlightened woman, and her best friend executor came here and explained it, and we've been faithful to it. And one thing we've been wanting to do, and we've tried to coax or badger Sasha and Carrie, is for Green Hill to have a large animal building, a facility. But we do have the Lane County, you know, fairgrounds, but have a fair, you know, so it's not available. But we've made good use of that, and we would. So in the motion, we are also asking the Board of Commissioners to look kindly upon that and pass it. All right. Is there any other discussion?
No vote.
I had a question. Was that a steel stock trailer or aluminum?
Aluminum.
Yes. I mean, $10,000 on an aluminum stock trailer, you're not going to lose money, and in 5 or 10 years, it'll be worth more than that. So.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty good buy, really. I don't think that would be a tough sell for the commissioners at all.
That's good to know you. All right. Any more discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motions.
Aye.
The motion's agreed to and laid upon the table, or whatever the table is. And okay, let's see. Are we about to wrap this up here? Any other Lane County Animal Services?
No, it's just the normal reports in your packet.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Recently, there have been some dogs that killed a bunch of goats near where I live. What's happened with that?
those dogs have been euthanized per the owner. They dug out of their kennel, got out, and attacked the goats. Unfortunately, there was not an eyewitness to the actual attack on the goats. They came out, found the goats dead, and the dogs covered in blood. So those dogs have been euthanized, and at this point, the case
is closed. So how did you find the owners? I understand somebody found the dogs.
Someone found the dogs, posted on Facebook. The owners stepped forward and claimed the dogs.
Oh, okay.
And then what?
And then euthanized them.
They authorized the euthanization of the dogs. The dogs killed a whole bunch of goats. I don't know how many goats.
Seven.
Seven, and one was left that was pregnant.
They were all pregnant.
Oh, okay, great.
And what? How did they get out?
Dug out. She said they dug out of the kennel.
They were inside a kennel and they dug out.
That's really sad.
It is.
What kind of dogs were they?
One was a German Shepherd mix. The other was an Australian Shepherd mix of some sort.
Herding dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, herding dogs. Right.
Is there any other open discussion of any kind? Hearing none. Any other items that we'd like to add to the next agenda? We'll certainly talk about the disposition of this and an update on Green Hill and any other pressing matters.
I need to request that someone replace me on the board. I need to end. This will be my last meeting. Okay.
This will be your last week. When is your term end?
Actually, it's already expired.
expired 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, we were just looking through that. So you're right. It's.
I would like some recommendations of what vets to talk to maybe take your place. We need your expertise.
I can check around that.
Please.
That's not as easy to fill in.
I know, I've asked you that before.
We like you. We care about you. We value you.
Yeah, there's reasons I'm going. Okay.
So what we hear is reconsidering, isn't it? So. All right, I guess we concluded this. Thank you so much, and we adjourn until next June 12th, Monday. 4 p.m. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.